us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. What happens when we shift our focus? The readings this morning began in Egypt, well, actually began in the wilderness after they had left Egypt. And when the Israelites left with Moses from Egypt into the wilderness, their focus was on freedom. Their focus was on moving to the promised land. Their focus was on what God was doing in their midst. And they were all excited, and they got in that long, we'd say wagon train, but there were only some wagons. Most of it was a footpath. They went on that footpath to get into freedom. But then when they got there in the wilderness, their focus shifted again, because they got a little thirsty. And when they got a little thirsty, they complained to Moses. Then they got a little hungry, and they complained to Moses. And each time they offered these complaints, God sent manna, God sent water, and God sent quail. God continued to send things as their focus was continually on, this isn't quite what I expected. And their focus shifted away from the promise of God to their personal needs. And yet, even when God answered their personal needs, what did they say to Moses? We detest this miserable food. And even then, we detest this miserable food. God finally seems to have said enough. And he sent poisonous snakes. And the people of Israel begin to die, and suddenly they have to shift their focus again because life is on the line. And they shift their focus, and this is the most amazing shift, because they shift their focus and realize that their focus was wrong. They don't go to Moses this time and complain, please have God take away these serpents, they're killing us. That's not their words. Did you hear the words that Patricia read this morning? This is what they say. We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Then they ask, pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. And so Moses gets instructions from God how to make a serpent in which to raise it up. And as he would raise up that bronze serpent, those who got bit could look up and live. So if they shifted their focus from their personal pain and suffering up to the bronze serpent, they lived. But it didn't take them too long to shift their focus one more time. They shifted their focus away from God who gave them power to live, God who healed them when they looked at the serpent, to worshiping the bronze serpent. So that if you were to move to 2 Kings 18, verse 4, you find that there, when the king in power at the time comes in, he has to destroy the bronze serpent that the people are now worshiping. Their focus once again shifted not from God, from God to that which had no power except by God. When we shift our focus away from God, we shift it to things of the world, to things that are so human and so limiting that we begin to limit God's power in our lives. Thursday, I traveled to Durham with two very wonderful women in this congregation, and bless them, they sat with me for an hour and a half as our bishop spoke with us. But our bishop talked to us about shifting our focus. And I thought about this passage of Numbers with Moses and God and this bronze serpent. And the bishop is asking us to shift our focus away from building a church to making disciples. That our focus doesn't need to be on membership, but on reclaiming lost lives in the community. And some of these movements that are happening in our church for Him are shifting our focus away from physical plants and growth to how can we be instruments of God's movement in our midst to the lost people in which this church is planted. So then I thought about how Joe is asking us to shift our focus. And he's also giving us a physical plant to look at as we talk about shifting our focus. And I want you to think about this. That the plant, the church, should not be our bronze serpent. The church where we are planted is a physical structure that becomes a tool through which God can move us and move those who need Him to find Him here. If our physical plant is adequate enough for us to do that, then we can move out into the community with the resources we have that they might see Christ in us. As we heard in Ephesians, for we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. Now listen to this. This is the other part. To be our way of life. We are the church. And there are souls out there who do not know who Jesus Christ is. There are souls out there so broken that they don't even know that God loves them enough to come in human form, to die on a cross, that they might have eternal life. They don't know it because we're not sharing it, because we're not living it. And God is calling us in this time, calling us in powerful ways. I have heard God moving in this midst to be the disciples of Christ, to make disciples of Christ, to build God's kingdom here on earth. Because the other part of this John passage that we don't listen to very carefully is this. It isn't John 3:16. It is John 3:17 that reads, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Condemnation happens when we say no. Condemnation happens when we choose not to follow Jesus. We condemn ourselves to death. God is not going to be the one who does that. God chooses life. God chooses to save. But when we shift our focus away from God and we shift it into the world, we put Christ once again back on the cross. The final words in the John passage this morning were these: "Those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." God is calling us to do powerful deeds. And I want to share with you some words that are always on the back of your bulletin now and used to be on the front. And they read like this: "To all who are lonely in need of friend, to all who are sick and seek Christ's healing power, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide its doors, and in the name of Christ our Savior bids you welcome." If we shift our focus to being the church seeking the lonely who need a friend, seeking the sick who need to experience Christ's healing power, to seek those who are in need of a Savior, God will fill the pews. All we need to do are to be His servants. I want us to continue to shift our focus and believe, because when we believe, we have eternal life. We have it now. It is here. Everything that God needs is here right now to do that which God is calling us to do. God's vision is here. All we have to do is live into it. All we have to do is believe. And if you need some examples of how that's working here in our midst, there was a dream by some farmers of a farmer's market, and the building is breaking ground. The Kittrell Job Corps continues to bring forth new people, and there was a dream by a woman who works there that to move them from the Job Corps into the world, they needed an in-between house. And they now have hospitality houses that as they graduate from the Job Corps, they move into this group home where they begin to work in the world, and as they get the income they need, they move out of the group home into their own home. It is possible, brothers and sisters in Christ, for this community to be alive. To be alive in Christ. That all we have to do is look high to that cross where our Savior hung and believe, and then to tell others not only the story of our salvation through Jesus Christ, but how God is seeking them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of